Well, good morning, everyone. How are we going? Thank you for blowing in today. That's a good one, hey? Yeah, thanks. I've got some good ones today. You've been warned. It's good times. A couple of announcements to start with this morning. So next Sunday, we're away next Sunday. So next Sunday we're going to they're going to watch Eyes High, and as part of Eyes High, we're going to listen to the divisional commander speak on Teams. Oh, pardon me. And so that'll be good. And then the following Sunday, which is October 20th, there's no service here. We're going to Belconnen. So on the 20th of October, the service will be at Belconnen, which will be good. This week we had four of the teenagers went off to state youth camp. Lee and Simon and Emma and Caitlin. They had a great time by all accounts, and there was over 310 youth there with the leaders, or 380 in total or something with all the leaders there. So it was a pretty hectic time at camp, but they had a wonderful time there. For those of you who haven't met, I want to introduce you to Sarah as well, over here. Sarah's taken on the role as our schools engagement person and community program person. So she started with us a couple of weeks ago, and we've been praying for Sarah and praying God's blessing on Sarah. And as we get the program up and going, we'll invite Sarah to come and speak into that. But our prayers are particularly that God would open pathways and doors for the programs and for opportunities to be back in the schools. We've had some positive feedback already from the schools and some invitations to come talk after the holidays. So God's at work there already, which is really exciting. Well, this morning, in celebration of the kids being at youth camp, I want to read Psalm 103 in a version that the teenagers particularly might understand. So this is especially for teenagers, all right? So it goes like this, Psalm 103. So you might know Psalm 103. That's the one that says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, with all my inmost being, praise his name." That's the psalm we're looking at, okay? So it goes like this. "Yo, I'm giving mad praise to God. With everything I've got, I'm reaping his name. For real, I can't forget all the good stuff he's done." No cap. He forgives all my mess-ups, keeps no receipts, heals all the times I've been broken, saves my life from crashing and burning, and covers me in love and mercy like VIP treatment." This is thanks to ChatGPT. I didn't even write this. How good is this? "He fills my life with the best things, so I stay fresh. Feeling like I'm brand new. God is always fair. He stands up for the underdogs." Broncos were an underdog. He didn't stand up for them. "For the people who were played by the system. He showed Moses his plan. Told Israel about all his moves. God's all about compassion and grace. He's not quick to snap. He's got mad love for us all. He doesn't hold any grudges. He doesn't drag us down with every little mistake. If he gave us what we really deserved, we'd be in deep trouble. His love for those who respect him is huge. As high as the sky, he takes away sins and throws them as far as the east is from the west, like nothing ever happened. God's like a caring dad. He knows we're just human. Made of dust, here today, gone tomorrow, like grass that gets cut and is forgotten. But his love, it lasts forever. From generation to generation, for those who stay loyal, God's got our back, and his rules are legit. God's got his throne in the heavens, ruling over everything. So yo, angels, armies, all his creation, join in and give him praise and keep shouting out his name with everything you've got. 1,000 generations falling down in worship. If you want to picture for a moment what that might look like, 1,000 generations. How much language has changed in just overnight almost? You know, the teenagers are speaking a whole other language. 1,000 generations. You think of the ancients and the language that they used to speak. The different languages all around the world today. The image of 1,000 generations, each in their own tongue, worshipping God. United in a common purpose, falling down in worship, to sing the songs of ages to the Lamb, to praise his holy name, to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Lord, we take a moment right now to think of those close to our hearts that aren't doing too well. Lord, for those that are sick, for those that are struggling, for those that have other burdens on their heart at the moment, Lord, whether it's employment or finances or whatever, Lord Jesus, we just bring them to you right now. In the silence, Lord, we bring their name to you. Lord, may your will be done in their lives. Lord, as we come today, we come with open hearts and open ears to hear from you. Speak clearly to us, we pray in your name. Amen. Would you like to take a seat? Caitlin's going to come and read to us from the NIV this morning. She's going to read Psalm 63.
You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of the foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glorify in him, when the mouths of the liars will be silenced.
We pour out our praise to him. Let's pray. Glorious God, you have given us so much love and joy. Every good thing in our life reflects your caring. Even the giving of our offerings. We have tried to give our best, but we know we could do more. In a world where forgiveness has become a rare commodity, it is often an asset we hold back to maintain power over one another. Help us to hear the teaching of Jesus in the generosity of forgiveness. May we learn to give that to others with wild extravagance. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
So this morning, I was originally going to look at Acts 2, I think. Acts 2. Anyway, the story of Paul's conversion, and not so much focusing on Paul, but what happened to Ananias in that story. I got about 3/4 of the way through that message, and I couldn't finish it. So we'll try and work on that for another week. But I was led on Friday as I was driving up to Sydney. I was listening to a crime podcast. I've got addicted to crime podcasts. That's another story. They're called conspiracy theories on the podcast, but they're not conspiracy theories. They're crime podcasts. Anyway, in between that, I was also listening to the Bible app, and this Psalm 63 came on, and God was speaking to me through that. So we're going to look at this morning at Psalm 63 and what that has to do with this idea of hearing from God. For those that haven't been here for a few weeks, the last couple of weeks we've been looking at Bill Hybels has a book out called The Power of a Whisper. And in that book, he talks about this idea of hearing God's voice. And sometimes you can hear God through a mighty roar, and sometimes you can hear God through a gentle whisper. And so this morning I want to have a look at this idea of hearing God's voice. But what happens when we're having a desert experience? What happens when life isn't going so well? What are we meant to do in that situation? So to start off with, I want to tell you a story. There was once a man, and he was stranded and lost in the Death Valley. He was crawling around on the burning sand, thirsty, and he happened upon a necktie salesman. I don't know why it has to be a necktie, but anyway, it's a necktie salesman. "Can I interest you, sir, in a nice new hand-dyed silk tie?" the salesman asked. "Have you lost your mind?" the man said. "I'm dying of thirst, and you want to sell me a necktie?" The salesman shrugged his shoulders and went on his way, while the thirsty man continued crawling and searching for water. Finally, after hours of crawling in the desert, the man saw an unbelievable sight. There in the middle of the desert was a huge restaurant with flashing neon lights and a parking lot full of cars. The desperate man mustered his last bit of energy and crawled inside the restaurant door and whispered to the restaurant's doorman, "Please help me, sir. I'm dying of thirst and must have something to drink." The doorman shook his head and pointed to the sign. "I'm sorry, sir. Gentlemen are not to be admitted to this restaurant without a necktie." That was special, wasn't it? That was a pretty special one. Well, today's passage on Psalm 63 doesn't actually talk about neckties, thank goodness. It does talk about a desert experience. So that illustration was probably stretching it a little bit, but, you know, it made me laugh. It talks about desert experiences. And for me, hearing the voice of God is much easier when life is good. You know, hearing the voice of God is much easier when life is good, when I seem to be connected with Him, when my spiritual life is going really well. But when I'm having one of those desert experience moments, when life isn't going as well as it should, when I'm having trouble connecting with God, when my priorities aren't what they should be, at those times I find hearing the voice of God a lot harder. But when times are tough, there's something that we can do to help us connect better to God. And we see these psalms written by David, Psalm 61, 2 and 3, are written when he's having a tough time, when he's having a desert experience, when he's alone in the wilderness of Judah. It's written at a time when David was busily hiding from his enemies. It was during a period of his life when he was experiencing extreme loneliness, when he was facing a desert experience. So I wonder, have you ever had a period in your life when you've been extremely lonely? You might not have been stuck in a desert like David was, but sometimes in life we can have desert experiences and loneliness even when there's lots of people around us. But what we see from David is he doesn't look back at the mistakes that he's made. He doesn't look around in fear and complain about the dangers he was facing. A bit like Elijah when we looked at him the other week. Instead, he looks up to God and prays from his heart. What we see here is a wonderful example of what we need to do in the good times, in the bad times, and in the ugly moments of life. At a time when David might have been discouraged or disappointed with God, he was excited about God and he wanted to connect more deeply with him. David was in a place where there was no sanctuary, where he wasn't safe. Yet David reached out in faith and found new strength in the Lord. So this psalm starts off with, "O God, you are my God." It doesn't start off with, "God, get me out of here." It doesn't start off with, "God, are you real?" It starts off with, "God, you are my God, and I earnestly seek you." To be able to say, "God, you are my God," by faith, David transformed his wilderness experience into a worship experience. There in the desert, he was hungry and thirsty. But his deepest desire was not spirit. His deepest desires were not physical; they were spiritual. Here in the desert, he was seeking after God. With his whole being, his body and his soul, he yearned for God to draw near. When we're hungry, we eat. When we're cold, or we know that the cold's coming, we try to head north. Isn't that right? Yep. Well, just as we have physical needs that we satisfy, we have spiritual needs that only God can satisfy. In John 6, Christ is referred to as the bread of life. In John 4, he talks about giving us water, the water of life that comes from his Spirit. So just as we daily satisfy our physical needs, we also need to daily satisfy our spiritual needs. David had in him a deep love for the Lord and a desire to please him. Because David had seen God's power and glory in his house, in the sanctuary, he was able to see it in the wilderness as well. But not only does David seek after God, he also praises him. You know, this morning we sung 10,000 Reasons. And in that song it says, "And on this day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore." David turned this experience into a praise experience. I've got another story for you. And it's about an elderly lady who was well known for her faith and her boldness in telling other people about it. She used to stand on her front porch and shout at the top of her voice, "Praise the Lord." Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her yelling out, "Praise the Lord," that he would yell back, "There isn't a God." Hard times came to this elderly lady, and she prayed for God to send her assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted at the top of her voice, "Praise the Lord. God, I need help. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." Well, the next morning, the lady went out to her porch and noticed a large bag of groceries and shouted, "Praise the Lord." The neighbor jumped from behind the bush and said, "Ah, I told you there is no God. I brought you these groceries. God didn't." Well, the lady jumped up and down and clapped her hands and said, "Praise the Lord. Not only did he send me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." In this psalm it says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live." Instead of complaining, as we're prone to do when we get things wrong, God, David sang praises to the Lord. But what's praise really about? Praise is something we talk a lot about. The dictionary defines praise as to say good things about something. It's synonymous with words like to admire, commend, exalt, to honor, and to worship. Now, Christian praise is talked about as being something like giving joyful thanks and adoration to God. It's to celebrate His goodness and His grace. David said, I will praise you as long as I live. I wonder if you were running from something, if you were hiding from your enemies, if you were extremely lonely, whether you could say the same thing like David did. I will praise you as long as I live. Joyfully thanking and adoring God, celebrating His goodness and grace. In this dark time and period of David's life, he can't help but praise God. And he does it because praising God is important. And we sang that there's 10,000 reasons and many more. But praising God is important. We need to praise God because He deserves to be praised. And He's worthy to receive our praises. You know, so many times we can say to someone, you've done a good job. You know, the kids might do something and bring something home from school or do something good and say, that's a good job. You've done really well there. But I wonder how many times we just look around and see something and go, hey, God, that's really cool. I give you praise for that. Or something good happens in our lives. I wonder how often we remember to give praise to God, back to God for that. In Psalm 96, it says, for great is the Lord and worthy of praise, feared above all gods. In Revelation 4, you are worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and praise. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have been. The thing about praising God is it also reminds us of the greatness of God. And in doing so, we're reminded of His power and His presence in our lives. Psalm 135 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Here in this prayer from David, this Psalm of David, we see the great challenge, giving praise to God when life seems to be at its hardest. When we don't have the answers to the why is this happening? We, you know, in life there's going to be hard times. But in those hard times, we're reminded to praise God. Because praising God means that we're drawing near to Him. David's words in verse 3 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Praising God turns it away from us and back to God. David drew near and sought God. He praised God because he was worthy of praise, and it reminded him of God's greatness. Well, the psalm goes on. It says, on my bed I will remember you. David's heart was at peace, and he was able to go to bed. He was able to go to sleep, calmly worshipping the Lord and meditating on Him. The psalm starts with the phrase, earnestly I seek you, which means early in the morning I seek after you. Throughout this psalm, we see David both seeking after the Lord in the morning and in the evening, seeking after and remembering God. In this psalm, it uses the phrase, remember you. It means to recall God and what he has done. Recall what he's done in the past and to apply it to our present situation. Our God is the great I am, not the great I was. Let's think about that for a moment. Our God is the great I am, not the great I was. Back in the day, the Jews had three night watches, from sunset to 10 o'clock, from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and from 2 o'clock to sunrise. When I read about that, I wondered whether our kids might have been Jewish when they were little. Because they definitely got up at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, sunrise, and all the times in between. But the idea of the Jewish people back in the day having these three night watches was at each of these night watches they would acknowledge and remember God. For David to say he thinks of the Lord through the watches of the night probably means that he might have been having some sleepless nights. It might have also been a reminder to the Jewish heritage of the day. But it was also a reminder to us that when he woke, he remembered the Lord. I don't know if you've ever come across the Life Application Bible. The Life Application Bible is a Bible that has it's got the passages, and then underneath it's got some tips for life, I guess, or some applications that you can use in life. And for this passage and for these verses, the Life Application Bible says this: there are many reasons we can't sleep. Illness, stress, worry, kids. But sleepless nights can be turned into quiet times of reflection and worship. Sleepless nights can be turned into quiet times of reflection and worship. It goes on to say, these sleepless nights could be used to review how God has guided and helped you. When I read that, I thought that's probably a better use of my sleepless nights than worry or stressing. Reviewing how God has guided and helped me. So David drew near to God and sought God. He praised God because he was worthy of praise. He was reminded of his greatness. He remembered God, but he also rejoiced in God. In the last couple verses of that psalm, we read about David rejoicing in God. When we read these verses, we can get lost in the fact that David wanted his enemies destroyed. We can miss the fact that he wanted and desired others to know God just like he did. It says, but the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God's name will praise him. You see, David didn't rejoice in the destruction of his enemies. He rejoiced in the God of Israel. And he encouraged all the people to praise God with him. Often David's personal praise became communal praise as he publicly glorified the Lord for his mercies. What I love about that is it reminds us that we're not alone. Sometimes we can feel extremely lonely, but as we come back and praise God, we're reminded that we're not alone. Now, as I just said, David didn't rejoice in the destruction of his enemies. And to be fair, if we read the next psalm, we see something a little bit different from David. In Psalm 64, it starts off with, "Hear me, God, as I voice my complaint." You know, we could look at Psalm 63 on its own and say, well, here's someone who's doing it tough and not complaining to God. You flip the next page and you see, well, it's not quite all roses for David. Hear me, God, as I voice my complaint. But what we even see in Psalm 64 is right at the end of that psalm, he says this: the righteous will rejoice in the Lord. Even when he was having a tough time and wanting to complain to God, he turns it all back around and says, the righteous will rejoice in the Lord. I said at the start that I hear the voice of God clearer in the good times and when I'm connected with him deeply. But that doesn't mean that God isn't speaking through desert experiences. For some people, it takes moments like this for God to finally get through. But what we do see from this psalm is a model of prayer that will help us better connect to God. And as we better connect with God, it will allow us to better hear from him. We see from David a model of prayer that can help us in both the good and the tough times. A model that can help us cultivate a heart that is more responsive to hearing the voice of God more clearly. A model that reminds us to draw near and seek God. A model that reminds us to praise God because he is worthy of praise. It reminds us of his goodness and his greatness, even in the sleepless nights. A model of prayer that reminds us to rejoice in God, both individually and corporately. But in this prayer, we see someone who, although he's having a hard time, still wants to draw near to God. We're going to listen to a piece of music in a minute. And you'll know this song. It says, when peace like a river attaineth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, when I'm having a desert experience, when life isn't going so well, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So this morning, would you earnestly seek after the Lord? Would you earnestly long to draw near to him? Lord Jesus, help us to earnestly seek after you. Lord, in the good times and in the times when we're having a desert experience, Lord, help us to earnestly seek after you. Lord, help us to be reminded of your greatness and goodness as we turn whatever's happening in our lives back to praise to you. Lord, as David says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And Lord, we know in doing that you will satisfy us with the richest of foods for our soul. Lord, help us to be people that rejoice in your holy name. And in doing so, Lord, may others join in the glorification of you. Lord Jesus, refresh each one of our hearts and our lives for you today. This, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen. Joshua is going to share with us the benediction in the same theme as what we started with this morning, in the language of teenagers. Joshua's going to share us the benediction, okay?
Yo!
Keep going.
As you...
Almost got it. As you head out, may God have your back in everything you do. May his love follow you like a playlist on repeat, giving you peace and joy even when life gets messy. When you feel lost or down, remember, he's always there, lighting the way. No cap. That means no lying, okay? Oh, I had to let everyone know. May strength be your boast. May his strength be your boost when you're running on empty. And may his grace cover you when you slip up. So go out and live bold, love big, and keep it real. Knowing God's got you always and forever.
Amen.